This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Wouldn't you like to take a vacation from your bills? Well, you can. With credit card balances at an all-time high and Golden Oak's 5.25% rate, you could be saving thousands of dollars after a simple phone call. Call today and get your cash in as little as 14 days and make no payments for 2 months. Visit GoldenOakLending.com to speak to someone today.
Golden Oak Lending cured my blues.
6.19 APR, FHA, 15-year, 20% equity qualified credit. Additional terms apply. NMLS 114937.
At T-Mobile, we'll give you 4 free 5G phones and 4 lines for only $25 per line per month with eligible trade-ins. And no, it's not a contest. It's every day for a limited time. Everyone's a winner on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay. Up to $830 off each phone via 24 monthly bill credits plus taxes, fees, and $10 device connection charge. For well qualified customers, contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Welcome back to the Graybar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauly on King of OX.
We are back at it as we continue on here, our Friday night edition. We get done early tonight for SLU basketball. I'm going to tell you, this segment's going to be pretty quick because we've got a couple things coming up this hour that we wanted to give some time for. Joe Roderick, he's got a conversation with Chris Myers, Fox Sports broadcaster. We're going to play that coming up in just a few moments. And then later on this hour, our guy Kevin Wheeler is going to join us for our weekly Friday baseball conversation, which we always enjoy doing. You know, I just saw this on social media today. Codify Baseball has put out their win totals for the upcoming season, and Cardinals are near the bottom of their win totals. They put it at 75.5. Only the Angels, the A's, the Braves, no, excuse me, the Nationals, Miami, Colorado, and the White Sox have a lower number. The PCOTA projections recently came out, put the Cardinals' win total at 78.5 right there. I know those don't sound great, and look, I'm not going to try to totally spin this in a positive way. That's not what I'm trying to do here. But I will say this. Those projections are very much based off track records of what you have on the roster. And the Cardinals' ability to have more success than people expect them to have this year is based off players without track records taking steps forward. If Jordan Walker and Nolan Gorman take big steps forward and are legit middle-of-the-order run producers like we thought they were going to be when they were coming up, then this team does much better than those projections. If that doesn't happen, then those projections probably end up being somewhat close to correct. It is a very wide range of what could happen this year with the Cardinals. All right, like I said, quick segment here. We want to get to Chris Myers. Joe Roderick is with him coming up in just a few moments right here on KMOX. It's a Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. My name is Matt Pauly. We heard from Joe Roderick earlier on the show. He's been doing a great job of covering the Super Bowl for us all week long. That includes a conversation with Fox sportscaster Chris Myers. So with that, let's hand things back off to Joe.
Chris, get away from the football maybe for a little bit and talk a little baseball with you from time to time. We see you on Fox Sports, right, 2 and all the baseball stuff. And it's such a weird time in St. Louis this year, Chris, because they are in what they're calling a reset.
Yeah, nobody likes to hear rebuild because It says, like, it almost says we're not going to be winning. But there are ways to stay competitive while you rebuild and retool. And, yeah, because the Cardinals have, and first of all, like, the great fan base and a high standard, you just expect, it doesn't have to be Dodger, Yankee splashy, but you expect something that says, hey, we're trying to win, we're trying to do things. And I'm a little surprised because the Cardinals, you always expect them, just seems like we got used to them, whether they were getting the World Series or not, they were at least contending to make the playoffs, especially with the expanded playoffs. And I are they getting closer to that? It just doesn't seem that way at the moment.
It's odd too, because they kind of went into the year, you know, they told Goldschmidt, hey, we're not re-signing you. And they tell Arenado, hey, we're going to try. They made it known to all of baseball that we are going to trade
the
one of the best third basemen of all time. We're going to trade him. Pitchers and catchers report here in about five days.
Yeah, we're close.
Nolan Arenado is still a St. Louis Cardinal. Right. Like the one move, it's looked like he was on his way to Houston and he vetoed it. And it's like, where's the disconnect there?
And how does it make the player feel too? If like, well, I'm going to give my all, I'm paid to do it. But like, you're already kind of offering to usher me out of here. And then you may know more too about the Cardinal pitching, and that's always a ticket and a way to get in or develop. I mean, obviously going out and signing some ace pitcher somewhere, and that's not happening. But that's also a way. And I don't know. I haven't looked into their staff enough to see where things are going. I mean, I saw some encouraging signs, but I just don't see enough in the lineup and the overview, I think, of the Cardinal team, which is – but, the division is the division, so right. There's hope. The Cardinals are one of those, like the Yankees, like the Dodgers, few standard franchises. You really almost want them to be in the hunt. You know, as somebody who covers baseball, or at least when we get towards the postseason, you're doing highlights. It's just better in having covered a lot of postseason games there back when Tony La Russa was there, the fan vibe, and I measure that a lot. You know, Chicago has it, Boston has it, but the Cardinal fans and that setting, I think what I'm saying is they deserve a little more. So hopefully ownership, front office, I know there's been some discussion there and some shuffling of it, but hopefully they have a plan.
Here with Chris Myers. Chris, you were saying you're not fully into the baseball mode yet. How do you compartmentalize your sports for the year with everything that you do?
Yeah, and you hit on it. That's what I kind of do, which is why I almost have to block out, for now, a little bit of NBA and baseball, because I was in football mode. I have the Daytona 500, so NASCAR mode, and then spring training, so then you're getting ready for the season. So then I kick into – I'm still doing NASCAR, but I kick into baseball, and I start to follow college and pro hoops a little bit more, because you're getting towards, obviously the tournament, and then NBA playoffs are down in the summer and following that. But that's really the best way to do it, and you're zeroing in on obviously calling a game, whatever it is at the moment. So if you think about too many other sports, obviously we're fans, so we follow those, but not like we do as an intense broadcaster doing homework. So that's what the key is. You said it, compartmentalize. And I kind of learned that early from some athletes who talked about things that not that they had other jobs, but they had to zero in on particular study habits here, teammate work here, working with a coach here. And they've kind of showed me some methods, I think, to make that work.
So how do you enjoy then watching, if you're just sitting back and you don't have to do the homework, or just turn it on? Do you go to like a sport that you don't cover as much, or?
Yeah, no, it's like, even if I, let's just say I have a weekend off in the NFL, or I'll watch college football. So I do watch as a fan, but I also always, as a broadcaster, I would have said this, or that was a great line. I see why that he said that. That's something that I should do more of, because I'm always thinking of the viewer at home or the listener. And if it's radio, what do they want? What do they want to see? What do they want to hear? And what important questions do I need to bring up in the game with an analyst, that type of thing. So, yeah, I'm always kind of working in that mode because I am a fan. And so, yeah, even if it's a sport I don't follow as closely, I'll still enjoy it.
You have your book out that just came out, That Deserves a Wow. So now, author, add that to everything else that you're...
Yeah, and the book, Barnes & Noble, Amazon, you can also get the audiobook. It's a sports book. It's a little bit like, if we used a movie reference, Forrest Gump with sports meets Almost Famous, the one about, the rock and roll journalist, because I started at a young age. But it combines a lot of wow moments that people will relate to, but it takes you beneath and after, around the scene, and some great personalities. Bill Murray wrote the foreword, who I know is a big Cubs fan, who tells me he hates the Cardinals, but he loves baseball, so we'll live with that. But it has some great baseball stories in there, and Super Bowl coverage as well.
And you're here today, Synergy X and the Low T Center.
I've worked with them before. Low T has been around a long time, and get your T levels checked if you want to lose some weight, if your energy level is down. They help you with that with your healthcare provider. The most important thing they do is they personalize what you need. If you need to increase your testosterone, if you need to decrease, and they'll set up a kit so they make it easy for you at home once you've gone to your doctor or Low T to have it tested. So lowt.com or synergenics.com is the way to at least reach out, see what you need if you're not getting the energy level you want. Or you have some weight loss issues, but you're doing the other kinds of things and that's not working, which is, eating right and exercising.
How will you be watching the game on Sunday?
I'll probably actually, you know what? Because I have to go to New York for the dog show, Westminster Kennel Club dog show, Monday, Tuesday, best in show from Madison Square Garden. It's live. So I'll probably be with the Fox crew watching the game as opposed to being, if I'm not working the game, I almost like watching it on TV rather than sitting in person in the stands or in a booth somewhere, because then I could do what we were talking about. I can enjoy it as a fan, but I can also look as a broadcaster or a critic of myself if I was covering the game as I had in the past or calling a game.
How many years is this now that you've done the dog show?
It's like 6 or 7 when Fox got the rights. Yeah.
Do you consider yourself, are you like an expert now? And do you look at that and you
well, it's funny. I'll never, even for football or baseball, and I've been doing football for 40 years, baseball 30. I'm never an expert, because that's why we have an analyst. But I'm a fan who prepares as a broadcaster. But my wife works with rescue dogs, you know, and so it does a lot with that. So I'm around that a lot. I always grew up in our family with dogs, but they were not the kinds of dogs you see at the dog show that are eating steak and lobster and getting their hair done more than I get my hair done.
That's Joe Roderick with Chris Myers. We appreciate that. We'll take a break, and when we return, talk all things baseball with Kevin Wheeler. Our weekly Friday conversation on the way next. It's a Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX. Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. My name is Matt Pauly. Starting to wrap things up, we're going to get done just a little bit early tonight. We've got SLU basketball. They match up against St. Joseph's in Philadelphia. Bob Ramsey, Earl Austin Jr., they are there, and they've got the call of the game. Right now, it's time for our Friday conversation with our very good friend, Kevin Wheeler. Kevin, good to see you.
Good to see you, buddy.
You think Rammer and Earl have got a Philly cheesesteak?
Oh, yeah, I'd say they probably have had one in the last 4 or 5 hours.
Yeah, pretty good chance.
They're in Philly tonight. I don't know why you'd be there, because you're in the city too, right? St. Joe's in the city. So yeah. If you're in the city, you got cheesesteaks anywhere.
The best cheesesteak I've ever had in my life, it's courtesy of Jim Hayes. So inside of the Phillies clubhouse, there's a chef in there that makes cheesesteaks. And Jim Hayes loves them. And this past year, I was with the team when their trip to Philadelphia. And Jim went into the Phillies clubhouse and he bought a Philly cheesesteak for everybody between the two broadcasts. So, and we're everybody. So if you were a production person on the TV side,
that's awesome.
He came up with just bags and bags of Philly cheesesteaks. And it was so flippin' delicious.
Philly cheesesteaks are good no matter where you get them. They're better in Philly.
Yeah. 100%.
No matter where you're getting them, but the local places, obviously that's more of a local flavor. Yeah. That's not a chain restaurant. It's just the way they do it, the way they season it, the oils that they use. It's just
It was different. That was my first time in Philadelphia, so I never had a true
My mom's
Philly
family's from
steak.
Philly, so we went there every spring and sometimes every winter too. So we had plenty. You getting the Philly cheesesteaks, and then they're not sub sandwiches. They're hoagies.
Yes.
Getting hoagies, man.
Really good. Really good. All right. So we always talk on Friday, kind of look back at the week that was for the Cardinals. And this past week, a little bit more smoke coming out when it comes to a possible Nolan Arenado trade. I still think everything is being held up by the Alex Bregman situation, but it feels like once that Bregman thing gets figured out, or maybe if a team like Boston says, you know what, Bregman's not coming to us, so we gotta get to our plan B, that something's gonna happen. I don't think Nolan Arenado reports to Jupiter. I could be wrong.
I'm not hoping for that, but there's still plenty of time before position players report.
Yeah.
You know, pitchers and catchers are this week. Position players are what, 4 days after that?
Mm-hmm.
So you got a little bit more space. I don't think it's crazy that there's a move before that. I'm not going like crazy raging hot take here, but kind of a half hot take. Can Alex Bregman just make up his mind?
No kidding.
I mean, the offers are not changing significantly between now and a week from now.
Right.
You've got, from what I understand in the reports, you've got Toronto making a big offer, the large years at the large dollars. Sounds like Detroit might be one of those teams too that's got like a 6-year offer out there, but maybe not, but it sounds like maybe. We know that the Houston offer was in that range. We don't know if it still is, because Houston people are, you know, talking about him in the past tense when they're doing public speaking engagements. And then we know that the Red Sox and the Cubs are offering shorter term deals at the high AAV. Well, make a call. What, you're not. What are you going to get? An extra $20? I'm being sarcastic. It's not like you're going
to. That's what it would be to us.
Right. Yeah. But like, nobody's going to be like, well, we've been at 150, but we're going to jump to 200 a week before spring training. Yeah. That doesn't happen. Make a call, because he is legitimately, and I know he can't totally consider this, but he's holding back a lot of other players. Not just the Arenado thing, which is what we care about, but there are a bunch of free agents out there that would like jobs, and they may not be available to those guys until the teams know whether they're in and out on Bregman.
Yeah, 100%. You got that right. And like, I read last night that Houston had added a little bit of money to their deal, but it wasn't enough to make a difference.
Right.
So that's the point you're making. Houston pushed themselves
a little bit further.
It's going
to be a little bit, if anything.
Yeah, but it's not enough to make a difference. And, man...
And if you don't want to be in Toronto or Detroit or whatever, don't lead them on either.
Right, tell them.
If you want to be in Boston, take the deal.
Yeah.
They're not going to go from 3 to 6 years, right? If where you want to be is Chicago with the Cubs or Boston, they're not going to double the years on their offers. You probably could get from 6 to 7 on Toronto. They seem to be a little extra urgent compared to other teams. But if you don't want to go to Toronto, their presence is not going to make those other teams double the length of what they're offering you.
I would not give him a 6 or 7 year deal.
I'd give him 6 if I'm the right team. If I'm Toronto, I'd probably do it. You know, honestly, if I'm Detroit, I'd probably do it. You know, if you're looking at it, again, you know, I grew up in Detroit, so I've got my Tigers roots. You have a 2 year window left where you know you have Tarek Skubal. Maybe take the run. You got one of the best pitchers in baseball. You've got a really great, you have one of the top 3 farm systems in baseball. You got a good young team. You made the playoffs last year. You just brought Jack Flaherty back. Maybe you do it. The only big contract they have is Javi Baez.
Sure.
And it's a terrible contract.
Yeah, terrible deal.
Which is why they're probably scared of a guy like Bregman. But Bregman is not Baez. Bregman will age better than Baez. Baez is an athletic, dynamic, at his peak, was an athletic, dynamic, power player with no discipline and who swings at everything. And the slower your bat gets, the worse you get. Bregman's not that. He's a disciplined hitter. The strike zone judgment's not going to go away. He'll age better than a guy like Javi Baez would, just from the profile alone. So I get it. I understand the concern. But by the time you get to the worrisome years there, Baez's contract will be gone. I know they want to pay Skubal, but you may not get that chance.
Right. It's going to be tough.
If he gets to free agency, he might be a $45 million a year pitcher if he's healthy. So why not make a little push? Now, I don't know that they will, but I'm saying they could. I think the Cubs are where they are. They're going to do it on their terms. Boston's going to do it on their terms. Boston doesn't need it, especially when they know that they could turn around and trade for Arenado at almost no cost.
Yeah, that's. I almost feel like the reports of the re-engagement with Boston, as much as that might end up happening, it's also to
Boston
show...
Boston telling Bregman to get off the can.
Right. Like
get moving, buddy.
We've got other options here.
Yeah.
And they should, because it just... I complained about this the other day. This year's hot stove for Cardinal fans was already going to be a little bit different because of everything.
Yeah, yeah.
But this situation with Bregman has just destroyed anything that's fun about the offseason.
Yeah, and look, I understand a player has to do what's right for them. So, I mean, that's why I'm saying it's only a semi-hot take. I'm not saying that Bregman is responsible for the futures of other players or anything like that. And let's be honest, part of this is also on Nolan. He had a chance to accept the deal to a pretty good situation and didn't want to go there.
Yeah.
So, I mean, this is not all on Bregman, but we all have been talking about this for more than a month now that Bregman's decision will probably determine whether or not anything can happen.
Is Jose Altuve willing to go play left field so Nolan Arenado can play third?
It sounds like it.
He's willing to do it for Bregman. Yeah. Is he willing to do it for...
I mean, it sounds like he might do it even Arenado? If they don't bring Bregman back.
Yeah.
I mean, because he's been declining defensively. So, you know, Houston's a team that's like whatever they can do to stay, you know, at the top of their game and wherever their strengths are. They're a little thinner in the outfield as far as ability. So that might also help them there because they play Yordan Alvarez out there and they're better off with him at DH.
Cardinals do make 2 small moves over the last 2 days. Let's go through both of them. We'll start with the move from yesterday. Utility man Michael Hellman comes in. The Twins needed some spots on their 40-man roster, so they're going to move on from Hellman. They're able to work out a deal with the Cardinals. They get some cash considerations in that. Hellman's an interesting guy. He can play all over the field. In the minor leagues, he played every position but catcher. He had some really solid minor league seasons.
Yeah.
Was an older AAA guy, made his major league debut last year, very limited time. Looked fine. John Mozeliak has spoken all offseason about the desire to add to the bullpen and to add a right-handed bat that can play in the outfield. So he's done both those things over the last couple days. But specifically to Hellman, This is your last guy on the 40-man roster. This is a guy with minor league options, so he might be earmarked for Memphis. But he's also somebody that if he has a nice spring or if something happens during the season, he could do something on the major league roster.
Well, who's the bench today? So let's just count. Let's just start with the assumption for this argument, for this conversation, that Herrera is the starting catcher.
Okay.
So Pajes is on the bench.
Right.
But one of them is. So there's going to be four bench spots. One will be a catcher, right?
Yes.
Okay. So who else is on the bench for sure? Like, no questions asked, regardless of what happens in spring training, who else is on the bench?
Well, depending on how you view it, either Siani or Donovan, essentially. Because Donovan's
I'm counting Donovan as a starter.
Okay. So
no matter how it goes. So let's call it Siani.
Okay. Let's call it Siani. Yep.
All right. After that, who else is on there?
I want it to be Sajacy. I'm not sure if he's there with Nolan Arenado on the roster.
But he should only be there if he's going to play.
Right.
He's not going to. I was having this conversation on Twitter with somebody, and I thought it'd be a good one to bring up. Sajacy's not going to be here if he's not going to play regularly.
Right.
He's not going to be here in a setting where he's going to get 150 at-bats this year.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to play at AAA if they don't have 400 at-bats for him. Okay? So if he's here, he's going to be playing regularly. If he's not playing regularly, he's not going to be here.
Yes.
Okay. But let's count him.
Okay.
All right? Who's the fourth guy?
There's a few in there. You can look at Lucan Baker. You can look at Jose Fermin.
Right, but what is Baker? He's a one-trick pony.
Yeah, right-handed
bat. He's a right-handed bat against left-handed pitching. Sure. He can't play defense. He can't run. He gives you no late-inning versatility.
Yeah.
Right? And by the way, neither does Siani. He gives you one thing, outfield.
Do we consider Burleson bench or DH?
I'm thinking Burleson DH in this scenario.
All right.
So, again, so is it Fermin? A no-bat guy who can't play the outfield and doesn't run very well? Is it Jose Barrero, who at one time was a pretty good prospect, who's actually very physically gifted.
Right.
But
they brought him in for a reason.
Right. He could be that guy. And he's a right-handed bat. He's got a little pop, but he's not a good hitter. Or it could be a guy like Hellman, right? And Hellman covers a lot of things because he can play. Not only does he play outfield, he plays center field.
Mm-hmm.
He runs. He's a good runner. So his primary positions have been second base and center field. He's played a lot of third. He's played a bunch of short. He's played corner outfield. As you mentioned, he's touched first base.
Right.
But mostly second base and center. But the fact that he can play center field separates him from Baker, from Fermin, from all those guys. And the fact that he has some time at shortstop.
Right. Because the team has to have somebody who can play shortstop when Wynn isn't in there.
Yeah. Even if it's just a day.
Right.
So
the details behind the Diddy indictment. Taylor Swift's stalkers, Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
So, you know, that separates too, because Fermin's not a shortstop.
No.
No, and Barrero was a shortstop, and he can play there, but the Reds moved him to the outfield.
And so JC at some point will be that guy.
And so JC can play some shortstop too, right? Which is my point. If he's here, though, it's going to be as a regular player. Maybe not every day, but he'll play probably at least four times a week he's here.
He'll be the guy that if Wynn needs a day, he'll go play shortstop.
Probably, yes, because he's got extensive shortstop time in the minors.
Yeah, and he looked fine there last year.
He's not good at it, but he's fine.
Yeah.
He's a fine fill-in. Fill-ins don't have to be elite.
No.
They just have to be fine, and he's a good hitter. So I don't know that Hellman's going to have to win a job. You're not bringing him in and saying you're on our team. But he's more intriguing than almost all of those other candidates for that last bench spot because he can play six positions and he can run and he's got some pop. He had a 20-40 season in 2022. That's not that long ago.
No.
And if you're asking why he didn't follow that up in 23 or 24, well, 23, he suffered a shoulder dislocation in May and it ended his season. And so his numbers are just incomplete that year. He's got a month's worth of numbers. And then last year, his numbers at AAA were fine. He had an 800 OPS at AAA last year.
Yeah.
It was only 70 games, but he had a hamstring injury mixed in there. And this is the point, is that this guy, Hellman, is not a future regular. You're not counting on him to be a big-time player. But if he is the 150 at-bat guy who can play six positions, bat right-handed, run, and maybe occasionally get into one, that's a good bench player.
This is a pretty good...
He can show that he's able to hit major league pitching.
You mentioned all the boxes he checks off for being the 40th guy on the 40-man roster who's picked up for absolutely nothing a week before pitchers and catchers report. Like, that's a nice job on a roster addition.
The worst part about this, I had a person on Twitter point this out to me, which is true. The worst part about it is this is like the biggest thing they've done.
Right.
Like the moves, that move and the one we'll talk about in a second.
So, in a standard offseason, we're barely talking about
this. Yeah, and they're still, those are the moves you still make in a standard offseason, but they're not, they're not the only things that you have to discuss, and these have been the only things we've had to discuss.
Another interesting guy brought in on a minor league deal, invite to Major League spring training, so he doesn't have a 40-man spot for now, pitcher Nick Anderson. He came up with the Tampa Bay Rays, has deep connections to Heim Bloom.
Yeah.
So Bloom's,
Bloom's last year there was 2019, and that was his rookie year.
Bloom's fingerprints are all over this. In 2019, split time between a couple teams, and he was really good in terms of strikeouts with the 110 strikeouts and 65 innings. Has had some injuries. The strikeout per nine number has gone down in recent years, but he hasn't been terrible. Last year, he had a 4-plus ERA with Kansas City, but the year before...
the peripherals sucked last year. His expected ERA was over 5, and his fielding independent was over 5.
Yeah, 5.07.
Yeah.
2023, he had a 3 ERA with Atlanta.
But 2023, he was okay.
Yeah, that's the point I'm making.
He was okay. He had a 3 ERA, and the expected and the fielding independent were both around that. So, and a 9 strikeouts per 9, which is, again, perfectly fine. It's crazy because, like, in 2019 and 2020, he was like 14, 15 strikeouts per 9. But he's had a lot of arm problems. And I that's what's worrisome. But again, it's a lottery ticket. It's a minor league contract, and it's only $1 million if he's in the major leagues. It's a lottery ticket, and there's nothing wrong with this. If he has a good spring and he's healthy, he'll make the team.
Yeah, it feels like he's going to be given every opportunity to make the team.
If this guy is just healthy, because if you look at his profile, he throws hard. Now, he's not 100 mile an hour, but he's a guy that throws 95, right? But he's when he was healthy, he had one of the best curveballs in baseball. It is an out pitch. It is filthy. And even last year, in a down year, opponents only hit like 200 against his curveball. The year before that, it was like 150, 160, right? And back in the day, you didn't hit anything against it. So that's the problem is your best moves are lottery tickets, right? Both Hellman and Anderson are lottery tickets. There's zero risk involved. There's no downside. It's just, those are your best moves so far. Yeah. which it's a different story, but it is what it is. We knew this was going to be the offseason.
And basically the offseason's over.
Yeah, they never BS'd us about this.
No, they did not. They
told us what was
not.
Happening. Yeah. And, every time it's just a fun thing. You and Bernie talked about it on the Gas House Gang today, and I was going at it with people on Twitter last night. Like, every time we talk about or post about anything related to, like, these kinds of moves, which are just fringe roster moves, right? You just get the vitriol and the anger, and we get to hear like, who cares? This team sucks or whatever. And I was telling some guys last night, like, don't yell at us. We didn't do it. If you want to be mad at the team, tweet at them. If you want to be mad at the team, don't go or don't watch. That's all fine. Nobody's saying that you should be totally happy and laying rose petals at their feet. We're just talking about what's happening. Because we have to live in the real world. Like, here is what it is, and here's what we're talking about. When you're yelling at us, me, you, Bernie, Tom, Derek Gould, whatever, you're not serving any purpose. You're just being a child. You're just having a fit.
If you want to frustrate us, you might be doing that.
Yeah, well, they are. And here's what I said. I wanted to run this analogy by you. So this is the analogy I used on Twitter today. You might have seen it. But let's say you and I are friends.
Never could happen.
And our other friend is Chris Runge.
Okay.
And Chris did something that really pissed you off.
Of course, that would never happen.
I mean, like, really, like, in a serious way, though.
Yeah.
Like, he cost you $500 or $1,000 with just a bad decision, right? You're mad at him. But when we're together, every time his name comes up, you complain to me. You vent to me. How long do you think before I get tired of that and say, stop complaining about him to me and go talk to him?
Like the second time.
Yes. That's what's happening.
Yeah.
In this scenario, the Cardinals are Raji. You're in our position.
Yeah.
And I'm in our position and you're the fan. Like, we all, on a human level, we all understand how stupid and annoying that would be. Don't put people in the middle of it. We're just the messengers, man. Yelling at me or you or anybody else, or by the way, just constantly complaining about the same thing doesn't fix a damn thing.
Right. Tweeting on social media how you hope the fans don't show up and I'm not going to pay attention to a single game. And I've never been less interested in a season in my life. Stop tweeting.
Yeah.
Stop
and again,
tweeting.
All of that's fine. You're not wrong. Your take on it is your take. There's nothing wrong with that. But one guy tweeted at me today. I've never seen the club in such crisis. I'm never like, what is it? I've been a Cardinals fan for over 60 years. You think this is worse than the 70s?
Yeah.
You think this is worse than the early 90s? I mean, it's the same as those at worst. Right. It's an 83 win team.
I mean, the 90s when the brewery wanted to get rid of the club and they were doing everything to not win.
Yeah. And to anybody that's wanting to tell me that they're not going to watch or show up, hey, this is not an airport. You do not have to announce your departures. You can just depart.
Right. And if they're better than we expect them to, you're allowed to hop back
yes,
on.
Yes, of course.
Yeah.
Of course. Every fan that's irritated and frustrated is totally justified.
Sure.
And we have been too. If you've been listening to the Gas House Gang for the last 66 days when we've been doing them, you're hearing all of that angst and frustration and you're hearing the criticism. But we can't regurgitate every single bit of it every time we tweet. I yeah. can't include it all in each Twitter thread. It's just it's not possible.
Well, Kevin, I'm going to head to Florida. And this is going to be the final time we see each other for about a month.
For about a month. Yeah. Yep. Have a good time down there.
We'll talk. We'll still do this
Get
if possible.
Sleep.
I'll do my best. That's Kevin Wheeler. I'm Matt Pauly. This is it for Sports Open Line, originating from St. Louis. I'm out Monday for traveling. I'll be back Tuesday from Jupiter. Look forward to talking to you. Thanks to everybody for being tuned in. St. Louis University Billikens basketball, big one tonight. They are matched up against St. Joseph's. Our coverage begins in just a few moments with Bob Ramsey and Earl Austin Jr. And have a great weekend. Have a great Super Bowl. We'll talk to you next week here on KMOX.